Remember that first flush of excitement back in the mid-90s when perhaps that one computer in the office was hooked up to the internet? And here it was, the modern miracle of technology that Paul Keating called the information superhighway. Well, 25 years on, you curse as your kids and grandkids bury their heads and effectively their brains in their smartphones and their tablets. Peter Lewis was a journalist and then a consultant working mainly with unions when he first became excited about the democratic potential of the web. He's had some serious second thoughts, though, and he discusses them in a new book, Webtopia, The Worldwide Wreck of Tech and How to Make the Net Work. And Peter Lewis joined me in the Sydney studio.
What the web offered the world was an ability to connect across time and space, which is a remarkable gift. And we embraced it and we found so many ways of applying it. And it was a self-evident good that connectivity and sharing of information, you couldn't get enough of it. It feels to me that we've reached a point where we're being swamped by it and it's actually starting to impinge on our humanity. Mm. And by that I mean that I feel that our primary relationship has shifted from being relationships with other people through the institutions that we use to organize society through to being a relationship with the technology. Mm. And on one level, with the technology to connect to other people. But I think more and more, it is just a one-way loop where we're using technology just to reinforce ourselves. And in doing so, something about ourself gets taken away.
Well, the main thing that gets taken away is a traditional bent towards humility, especially when you write about the parable of Narcissus. Narcissism, self-love, lack of self-awareness. That's a big ethical problem, a big ethical challenge, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's a challenge that requires space for self-reflection. As I write in the chapter, like the sense that humans have been going down this path of being totally self-consumed predates the web. And I refer to Christopher Lasher's fantastic thinking from the 70s. But what's happened, particularly over the last decade, has been the business model of the web is to keep us looking into this mirror for longer and longer. And in fact, what we look at has become the product that the web then sells back to us. Mm. And as I also note, there is no business model in the web in turning off and thinking and reflecting. And for people who aspire to an inner life, that's really problematic. Yeah.
You do try to talk about the inner life in your book, Webtopia, and you reflect on faith communities. You reflect on one particular faith community, that of Pastor Brad Chilcott. Now, he's used the web in a way that emphasizes community and connectedness. What has he done with the web?
He's really interesting. He has established a faith community in Adelaide called the Activate Church, where the whole mission is what you're doing outside the church into the community, which I know a lot of churches do this, but these guys
this
really...
This is the classic bridging capital that a lot of faith communities have.
So his big initiative is something called Welcome to Australia that started off with a few families in his community. It's become a national movement. Its political mission is to open up homes for refugees and share a meal with them. So it's a really humble, basic connection point. Now, I think it's an interesting thing because Brad does use the web. He uses the web to connect people together, to organise things. And when I was talking about the ideas with him, he goes, it's not that the web is the problem. It's the way we use it that's the problem. And if we're using the web to feel good about ourselves or feel angry, then it is an indulgence. But if we are actually creating connections that then we translate into real world mission and purpose, then it can be a fantastic tool. So again, I don't think technology is the problem. Like that would be a silly proposition to say technology is the problem. I think we're the problem and our tendency to get comfortable and just seek a feel-good echo chamber with what we put out and what comes back.
Yeah, but you see, Brad's been lucky in this sense that he has used the web in a way that speaks of compromise, because his model, a church model of using the web, is to find common ground. Mm. Peter, you've worked in the media for 30 years. You know that's increasingly not the model now, except for outstanding examples like Brad Chilcott at that church. The web isn't about finding common ground, is it? Well, the web's about shouting.
But it could be. The problem is the shouting is actually the business model of the web, which is to keep people in one place longer. And, you know, particularly, you know, the algorithms that your social media channels like Facebook use, which tend to give back to you what you're putting out. So you're not challenged to connect with other views. They call them echo chambers. And the algorithms say that I'm more likely to like something I've already liked, so I'll keep giving someone something I've already liked, which is totally, you know, antithetical to curiosity and humility and the things that we actually need to thrive as humans. Mm. And, you know, when I start talking about this, I sound like I'm proselytizing, which is not what I'm trying to do.
No, we want you to proselytize. Let me give you a pulpit. Proselytize, Peter.
It just seems to me that somewhere along the way, we're losing our sense of humanity. And as most people of faith realize, you need to exercise these things, and you can get flabby and unfit. And if it's all too comfortable and easy, then of course you're not going to be able to get up and do the push-ups that you need to do to create a sense of purpose. And I'm not a particularly religious person, but I do fear that if we go down this track and we end up just being consumers who are only interacting with this technology to fulfill our desires, then we do become replicable. Like, if we want to retain our humanity in this amazing change that we're going through, then we need to do some work on it.
Yeah, the reason I say, though, a lot of it's not about finding common ground, even though you've found some excellent examples in faith communities, but also in the world of trade unions. But even though my impression is, based on a job where, frankly, I get lobbied by both sides of an argument relentlessly to give them a platform, is that anything that resembles compromise is seen as capitulation. And essentially what you've got is a model that allows what is dismissed as, you know, and probably accurately as virtue signaling. If you look like you've got the right attitudes, you can get away with not doing much. Is that not part of the problem with the webtopia, the false utopia of the web?
Look, I think the individuating of worldviews is challenging. So everything about the business models of social media is to understand us as an individual. And I think that what you're talking to is our tendency to lose connection with other views. And it does lead to a polarization, doesn't it? And what's frustrating is the whole premise of the web was it was going to be this tool to bring people together in collaboration to create things that had never been created before. And I don't see much really being created at the moment apart from anger and outrage. And when that flows into political discussions, they're not very productive, are they?
Let's talk about truth, because that's something else that you write about. It seems evident in a world of Trump and of Russian bots and of bloggers who come out of back rooms in Bulgaria and places like that, that the web has actually warped truth. What has the web done to our notion of truth?
Well, it's destroyed the public square. It's, in a way, it's privatized the public square and individuated the public square. And if we've got nowhere to anchor basic facts, then we're all going to lose our compass. I do think the notion of objective truth is so central to the Enlightenment and to the way that our worlds evolve that it's really concerning that we can't even come up with some basic agreement, for instance, that we're facing an environmental challenge.
Peter Lewis is a Sydney-based media consultant. His new book is Webtopia, The Worldwide Wreck of Tech and How to Make the Net Work. Peter, thanks for joining us to discuss some big ethical issues on the Religion and Ethics Report.
Thanks so much, Andrew.